This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. How does a little boy in Tanzania with a seemingly hopeless handicap in the form of scoliosis get a chance to stand tall and even dance for the first time? With the help of Texas Back Institute's Dr. Isidore Lieberman, working in tandem with nonprofit organization Stand Tall International, that little boy, Benwadi, or Benno for short, had his miracle realized through the philanthropy and joint effort of a surgeon's skill, a medical center, and a nonprofit's determination, and a village of volunteers determined to help little Benno have a healthy, happy, and pain-free life. With us today is Dr. Lieberman, a fellowship-trained orthopedic and spinal surgeon of the Texas Back Institute. And Dr. Lieberman, thanks so much for joining us here today.
You're very, very welcome. The privilege is all mine.
And again, we certainly appreciate your time and joining us here today. So, Dr. Lieberman, the story of young Benno and the suffering he endured through scoliosis is heartbreaking for sure, which makes the success of your team's joint effort to bring him healing surgery even more miraculous. So, if you would, share an overview of this medical and philanthropic journey. I'm sure listeners would love to hear some information on that coming from you.
So for the last 18 years, I've been involved in providing spine care to the less fortunate, particularly in East Africa and Uganda. Through those efforts, I've met some phenomenal, phenomenal individuals, one of which is Masha Bolovnikov, who runs Standing Tall International. So we have done some work together in Tanzania. She introduced me to Benno essentially over emails. She has a whole roster of young children that need spine surgery. And she sent me a series of x-rays. I looked through the x-rays. Each case was worse than the next. But Benno's case stood out as something that I felt I could really make a difference in his life by changing the shape of his spine, by correcting his scoliosis, and much like Masha's organization, get him standing tall again. So it took a lot of work on Masha's part to get the logistics organized with visas, raising money to get him over here, getting families over here to chaperone him, getting all the various regulatory documents in place. But we finally got him over to the U.S. in February. The organization that I work with, the HCA and the Medical City franchise, were very generous in donating the healthcare resources, hospital stay, implants, equipment. And my OR team here all volunteered their time, as did the anesthesiologist, the ward nurses, the physical therapists. So everybody just came together, and it was just such a wonderful thing to see how everyone pulled together for this young man. He had a four-month stay with us. About six of those weeks were in hospital. The surgery required four different stages. It was exceptionally stressful on him. It was exceptionally stressful on the team and myself. But everyone was together as one big family, and we got him through it. And he's back in Tanzania now, and he's back in school, and he's 8 inches taller than he was when he came.
How about that? What a phenomenal story and an experience for you to be a part of. And again, we thank you for mentioning some of the details around that. Now, continuing on about this, now it seems Benno is certainly lucky. Let me know a little bit about your medical mission to those in need in other countries and how you and Texas Back Institute work together to help those in need, like the Benno story.
Texas Back Institute is a single specialty orthopedic practice where we provide spinal surgery in the North Texas area. We've got 26 physicians and surgeons on the team right now. Many of us at Texas Back do charitable work around the country and around the world. One of my other partners, Ted Bellinger, does work in Ethiopia. We've got other individuals that go to the Caribbean. We've got other individuals that go to East Asia, and I tend to go to East Africa. The mission started in 2006. One of my now partners at Texas Back Institute, Dr. Mark Kayanja, is from Uganda originally, and he's the one that sort of prompted me many, many years ago to visit Uganda. I really never envisioned myself doing this kind of work. I just didn't ever anticipate that I would be flying all over the world to provide spine care. But Mark was persistent. He said, let's go to Uganda. Let's go to Uganda. And I said, okay, let's try it. So the first time we went for 3 weeks. We operated on about 20 kids. And I've been there every year since, once or twice, excepting the years of the pandemic where things were shut down worldwide. Over the years, we've been able to raise over $2 million in equipment and in-kind services to provide over there. I've had over 100 volunteers join us, and we've operated on over 300 children in Uganda at this point. With Uganda, we met others, as I mentioned before, and the programs expanded to Tanzania as well. And we get patients from other East African countries, from Congo, from Sudan, and the program's just growing. We now have four teams that go. Many of those that lead a team are former fellows or trainees of mine that now lead their own team as they are going overseas, some to Africa as well, some to other places. So that's how the mission started and where we are today.
And I'm sure you have a lot lined up looking ahead. Good stuff. Really appreciate some of the information on the mission there. Now, I understand scoliosis is a curving of the spine in very casual layman's terms. Can you educate us about this condition and how it impacts individuals?
So your spine are a bunch of bones that are stacked one on top of each other. In between those bones, you've got a shock-absorbing disc. When you look at the spine from in front, as if you're facing the individual, the bones are stacked one on top of each other in a straight line. But when you look at someone from the side, the spine has curves in it. The upper curve, so your upper back is curved a little forward. The lower curve, or the lumbar spine, is curved backwards. Those curves can collapse and can twist. So the curves can get more exaggerated in the same plane that you're looking at. And when they twist, the spine rotates and the ribs start to stick out, the pelvis starts to stick out. So that's what the scoliosis is. The scoliosis is a collapsing and a curvature of the spine that is accelerated during the growth phase and affects predominantly young girls more than young boys, and occasionally develops in adults before the spine starts to degenerate. Now, some types of scoliosis are what we call congenital, where the bones are not nice rectangular bricks, but are wedge-shaped triangles. So the curve that accelerates during growth, where the spine rotates, is called idiopathic scoliosis. The curve that develops when the bones aren't formed properly is called a congenital scoliosis. And what Benno had was a congenital scoliosis, where many of the bones of his spine were wedge-shaped, and because of that, the spine collapses. The problem with that is threefold. One, the appearance and function of the spine. So if it's collapsing, if it's bent, you're stiff. You can't move. You can't be as functional. Two, the internal organs can get affected by it. When the spine curves or collapses, the chest gets compressed, the abdomen gets compressed. You can't take a lot of deep breaths. You can't eat as much. So particularly in kids with this congenital type of scoliosis, their growth is compromised. They just aren't able to breathe and eat enough to grow. The third way it affects is the spinal cord and nerves. As the spine deteriorates, as it collapses, the spinal cord either gets stretched or compressed. When that happens, the signal can't get from your brain to your big toe, so you lose function. You can't walk. You can't be mobile. So in Benno's case, he had issues with his spinal cord where he was losing function to his legs. He also had issues with his breathing because he was collapsed so much, and he couldn't eat, so his growth was stunted. So we went ahead and straightened him out, and what was very, very gratifying to see is at the time of surgery, I was able to straighten him up about 4 inches, make him 4 inches taller. But within 3 months after he was able to start eating better and breathing better and exercising, moving, he went into a growth spurt and grew yet another 4 inches. So it is amazing how the scoliosis can affect the spine and how we can change the course of the natural history of this process.
Really appreciate the thorough response and coverage on that. And again, we really appreciate your joining us here today. We're speaking with Dr. Lieberman, a fellowship-trained orthopedic and spinal surgeon of the Texas Bag Institute, here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Orthopedic Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, while all surgeries are complicated, the outcome you created for Benno that we mentioned earlier seems nothing short of miraculous. Share a little bit about your background and how you actually came to your calling as a surgeon in this area.
So I grew up in Toronto, Canada. We lived in the downtown area, and my father had a clothing store. He was a carpenter by trade, though, but he had the clothing store, and my mother was a seamstress. So I always jokingly said, you know, my dad's a carpenter, my mom's a seamstress, I need to become an orthopedic surgeon. That just made sense. Upstairs from the store was a physician who was a close friend of my father's, and I was always impressed by what he did for people. So that's where I sort of got the inkling that I wanted to be a physician. As I got into medical school, I just got very excited about orthopedics, the mechanical nature of it, the structure, the tools, and that just became my goal. I worked in Toronto with a number of giants in spine surgery, just individuals that really carved the way and taught and mentored many of my peers at the time and still mentor me to this day. And one of them was a very well-established spine surgeon who really excited me about becoming a spine surgeon. And then I went to Nottingham, England. I did a fellowship there where you get extra training in spine surgery after you do your residency, your formal training. And there is where I learned all about scoliosis. The surgeon that I worked with there was one of the world's leading experts, and that's how I got into the deformity or the scoliosis treatment. I haven't looked back one bit. I have no regrets. I don't see myself ever doing anything else other than what I do right now, which is an orthopedic surgeon taking care of people with scoliosis.
Well, it is real clear, and I certainly hear the passion coming from you and your message, and you're certainly passionate about what you do, and we really appreciate not only all that you do, but for joining us here today. You certainly have inspired us, inspired me as well, and again, we thank you. As we conclude, tell us what's next for you and your medical colleagues at Texas Back Institute, and is there a country or condition or even an individual patient you've set your sights on as your next philanthropic mission of mercy?
In the world today, you know what you know what you don't know, but what's a real problem for all of us is you don't know what you don't know. That's the dangerous part. Spine surgery, treating spine patients, trying to alleviate the disabilities associated with spinal pathology is a daunting task. And we know what we don't know, but we also don't know what we don't know. And at Texas Back Institute, we strive to advance the technology to provide the most appropriate, least invasive spine care in our effort to pursue truth, justice, and the eradication of spinal pathology. Hey, I kind of like that. but that's what we're doing. We've got a number of physicians that really have dedicated their life to advancing disc replacement surgery, diagnostic techniques, robotics and navigation, looking at everything from the least invasive endoscopic surgical procedure to the most appropriate yet aggressive reconstruction of spines for tumors and deformities. So we are right there in the thick of it. We've got individuals that are very well renowned at the multiple meetings where we teach. We've got a strong fellowship program, and we've set our sights on advancing the science and taking care of patients. I don't know that there's a country or condition, as you asked in the question, but we do have a worldwide presence by virtue of those that we've trained in our fellowship program. So we have fellows from Europe, from South America, from Asia, and from all across North America. We've spread out and are carrying the Texas Back Institute flag to their local communities. And again, in terms of conditions, it's all spine pathology. We do deal with it all, and we're going to try to advance it all.
Once again, Dr. Lieberman, we thank you for your time joining us here today on the program. If listeners wanted to get more information on Texas Back Institute or to be in touch with you, how would folks get further details online?
www.texasback.com. You will find us there. That's our website. And yeah, we look forward to meeting anyone out there that feels we can help them.
And we certainly appreciate that offer. And he goes by Izzy. Again, Dr. Lieberman, all the best. And thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly was a pleasure.
You are so welcome. The privilege was mine. Have a great day.
And you as well. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Lieberman, a fellowship-trained orthopedic and spinal surgeon of the Texas Back Institute. And for further details, once again, visit TexasBack.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.